In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are at the much anticipated day of great and holy Pentecost. It is a celebration beyond compare, because it is the manifestation of the one God in Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is the initiation of the world into the salvation of the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is the expansion of the church. It is the inauguration of newness of life. This feast of great and holy Pentecost is truly a wonder for us. It's truly something for us to think about, to ponder, to contemplate. The historical event of Pentecost continues to this day. We keep our annual commemoration, but the event of Pentecost, this descent of the Holy Spirit, happens daily. It happens throughout the whole world, not just in Jerusalem. It happens to anyone who is willing to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, to receive holy baptism, to be incorporated into his body, the church, to partake of that salvation which comes through the gift of grace. This is what Pentecost is all about. We'll speak about three things today on this great and holy feast. First, we'll speak about the images that are revealed to us today from the historical events. First is that of fire. The second is that of a mighty gushing wind, the breath of God. And the third we'll speak about is from the Old Testament, an image that finds its fulfillment in the New, as do all Old Testament images. That is the Ark of Salvation. First, the fire. Everyone knows that Pentecost is about the descent of the Holy Spirit who appeared in the form of tongues of fire. We see this beautifully in the icon before us. In the Scriptures, we're told that God is a consuming fire. And yet he's also that fire that descended upon the bush that was not consumed. And this was an image of the salvation that was to come. That God would dwell amongst his people. He would live in them. He would consume all of their sins and purify them, but remain with them and not consume their true identity, which is found in Christ, their true person. That he would enlighten their minds. That he would warm their hearts. That he would fill them so much with this divine flame, which the Lord, during his earthly ministry, said that he wished the earth was already enkindled with this flame. That he would fill them so much with this flame that it would spread from Judea, throughout the Samaria, throughout the ends of the world. That this flame would enlighten the whole world, this light of Christ. The second image which we are encountering in the historical event of Pentecost is the breath of God, that gust of the mighty wind. In the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, we read about the creation of man, that he was taken as dust from the earth, and God breathed into him of his own breath, and man became a living being, filled with God's Spirit. But when man disobeyed God and turned from him and rejected his Spirit, God, in his utter meekness and in honoring the free will that he had given to man, withdrew. Man lost the Spirit of God, and he once again became dust. He returned to the earth from which he was taken. Yet, of course, God provided a way of salvation, a way to receive that Spirit again, to once again be filled with that grace and that life. And this was through the work of the Messiah, who himself had the Spirit without measure, and who promised that same Spirit to the disciples, so that everything that he had might be theirs, so that they might be filled with the Holy Spirit once again, so that they might taste of that eternal life. When the Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, he breathed on them, gave them the Holy Spirit. And he said that as the Father has sent him, so he sends them, so that all might be filled with this Spirit. But he told them to wait in the city of Jerusalem until you're clothed with this power from on high. And then you'll be witnesses. Then you'll go out in the power of the Spirit and give this newness of life to all who desire it. to all who desire to repent, to turn back to God, who had been rejected long ago and rejected in our own lives. To turn back and say, Lord, we want your presence with us. Not just abiding amongst us, but abiding within us, filling us with your life in every facet of our existence. As much as our bodies need to breathe, our souls need the breath that comes from you. These two images are wonderful for us to contemplate. A third image is again taken from the Old Testament, which finds its fulfillment in the New. It's the Ark. Everyone knows the story of the flood. God told Noah to build this ark, and that two of every kind of living being would come into that ark to preserve the continuity of creation. And this, of course, is an image for us of the church. The church becomes that ark of salvation, but it's not for animals. The church is for the men and women made in God's image and likeness. And it's not just for two of each, but it's for everyone. There's room on the ark for everyone who wants salvation. It's this church, it's this ark that has sailed the seas of this life from first century Palestine all throughout the world until today, that this ark sails the seas. And the apostles cry out, if you want salvation, come within the ark. Come and partake of that light of Christ. Come be filled with that breath of the Holy Spirit. Come receive that salvation which was foretold in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New. We think about the ark. We have to remember that the ark is owned by God, that God is the owner of his ark. The captain of the ark is our Lord Jesus Christ. The mast that's put up in the center of the ark is the cross. The sails that are attached to that mast are the sails of faith that catch the wind, the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, and move throughout history, throughout time and place, to wherever there are people looking for salvation. The planks that we stand on are the biblical truths, our doctrines, our teachings. We have the anchor of hope, which we cast out to give us that fortified and sturdy foundation. We have the rudder, and the rudder is a double rudder, the Old and the New Testament, which direct our steps. And we have the wonderful gift of community. No ship, no ark is manned alone. It's manned with the crew working together with the captain. And who are the crew members of the church? But you and I. You and I. The people of God. The people who work under our captain. And we've been entrusted with a mission. And actually, a mission isn't the right word. A co-mission. A co-mission. We've been given this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful command, because it's so important, to work with Christ for the salvation of all. We've been given a commission to work in that ark, to man that vessel, to cast the net down in the way that Christ tells us. Remember the apostles, when they cast their nets, they did it their own way, and they caught nothing, right? They fished the whole night, and they caught nothing. The Lord said, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And they couldn't even bring up the amount of fish because they casted their nets according to the Lord's command. They were working together with him. As Christians, our job is to cast our nets so that others can be drawn into this mystery of salvation. You know, fishermen have this practice of casting nets, and they catch fish. And sometimes it's a great multitude, sometimes not so much. At other times, they will cast a line, and they'll look to catch a single fish. Well, we do the same thing as Christians, according to the command of Christ. That we support the ministry of the church in multiple ways. We perform this evangelism in multiple ways. We support things like OCMC, Orthodox Christian Mission Center, for missions abroad and for missions local. We support charities, FOCUS, IOCC, Orthodox Christian Prison Ministry. We just had a collection last week. We support all of these different facets of the work of the church, this unified effort to cast the net, to draw people into that ark of salvation. One of the nets that we support collectively, not just once a year with a collection, but that we support all the time, is this very mission church. This is our net that we're entrusted to care for, that we're entrusted to let down into the waters of this world and to bring as many people into the ark of salvation as we can. And each time we come and we serve the divine services, we attend an educational class, we participate in the fellowship, or even things like the work days of the church to beautify the grounds and to do those things that need to be done. Each time we make an offering, each time we light a candle of prayer, each time we do these things, singing in the choir, serving in the altar, being an usher, cleaning the church, cleaning the hall, doing all of these things, we're working those nets. We're working those nets so that people can be drawn into the salvation of Christ. And Christ asks us also not just to fish with nets, which we do collectively, but to fish with individual lines. When we go home, we put out on our little boats, our little churches, our home church, our family church. We're asked to continue fishing, to try and reel people into that salvation on a one-to-one basis. Our family members, our friends, our co-workers, our acquaintances, everybody that we come in contact with, because they need that salvation. You know, the world is a difficult place. Evangelism is a difficult thing. The church, as she sails through history, encounters many trials and tribulations. We spoke a little bit about this last Sunday, with those who are persecuted under the Romans, persecuted by the Arians, persecuted under Islam, under communism. We could also extend that to those who are persecuted by secularism, by materialism, by all the false ideologies of this world. It's difficult to sail the seas of this age. Evangelism is a difficult thing. Yet how much more difficult is it if you're not in the ark of salvation? If you're holding on to some plank from a broken ship? If you're trying to swim by yourself? If you're stranded on some deserted island? How much more difficult is it? The trials of this life, the sorrows, the storms of this age. Can we bear them? Can we bear them without the ark? I don't think we can. We can't handle them ourselves. You know, one of the challenges of our church in the West is to take this good news to a culture that has rejected it. Has rejected it. We live in a post-Christian era, an era where people have moved on. They're not interested in the salvation that Christ offers. They're not interested in repentance. Talk about repentance. It's like you're using a bad word. Or change. Who wants to change? Accept me the way I am. Right? Many churches even today, they talk about come as you are and stay as you are. Come as you are and stay as you are. And where does that lead? To where you are. Tossed on the stormy seas of life. Christ says, come as you are, no matter who you are, no matter what your struggle is, doctrinal, moral, whatever it is that you're going through, come. And be changed. Experience life as it was meant to be. Be filled with that spirit that I breathed into you in the beginning. Be filled once again. The church goes out and calls so that people might be transformed and people might be changed. When we speak about this image of fishing, you think about a fish. When a fish is caught into the net or caught by a line, that fish is pulled out of the water. And what's the first thing that happens to that fish? It dies. It dies. And sometimes that's a difficult experience for us when we come to Christ. It's hard to die to the old man. It's hard to let our old ideas, our old thoughts, our old habits, our old feelings, our old emotions, to let all of that which is sinful die. It's very difficult. But what's the second thing that happens to a fish once it's been caught? Maybe not the second, after it's cleaned and things like that. But what happens next in the process? It's eaten, right? And who eats? Who eats? But the one who caught. And who's the one who caught? But our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the fish is eaten, and it becomes part of the one who caught it, it becomes part of its body. Right? We were all fish, and we've been caught by Christ, pulled into his net through the church. And he's mingled himself with us. We've partaken of him, and he's partaken of us. And we become united, become part of his body, doing his work, sailing the sea of life, looking to bring others into this. This is our transformation. We die to our old ways, and we're reborn as part of the body of Christ. We find our identity in Christ. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate this great and holy Pentecost, as we remember everything that was done so many years ago, and has continually happened from generation to generation, day by day, as people are incorporated into this salvation, let us remember that we are here first to be changed. And then when we are changed and transformed and transfigured and united to Christ, to work together with him so that the world might be changed, so that everyone might be saved, so that everyone might be filled with that light, filled with that breath, so that everyone might be incorporated into that ark. This is our wonderful commission, our wonderful privilege, to not only be saved, but to help others be saved as well. All in the unity of Christ, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, and to the glory of God the Father. Glory to Jesus Christ.